Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we do thank you. Thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and to worship you, Lord God. You said where two or more gather together in your name, you are in the midst of us. So we know that you're here, Lord Jesus. Come. Come, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power, come and be among us. Be among your people. And now, Lord, speak, for we're listening. For, Lord Jesus, you became the Word and dwelt among us. Speak through your word, Lord Jesus. Speak so that we could hear from you, for we're listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, Lord, and bring me again into your storehouse. And put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, of all of our hearts, Lord, be acceptable in thy sight, because you are refuge. You are Savior. You are Lord. Lord God, you're everything that we need. In Christ's name, amen. My sermon title today, when I'm pausing and smiling, I'm thinking sometimes of the scripture, right? Thinking of the scripture. when you've read it and read it and read it, you realize how good Jesus can be in getting hard stuff to folks. So my sermon title today is Jesus Teaching Tough Stuff. Right? We forget that Jesus, our Savior and Lord, has a way of telling us what we need to hear, whether we think so or not. And I'm going to begin with the Jackie Robinson story. And that's a good picture, isn't it? Love and do good and bless and pray. Anyway, I'm going to break that down. But I want to begin with the Jackie Robinson story, turning the other cheek. And many of us here who are here in the U.S. and watch baseball or know anything, whether you watch it or not, know about Jackie Robinson. A lot of America, all of us here, except for folks who might not have lived here during that time. The Jackie Robinson story is the 1950 movie about the life challenges and achievements of baseball star Jackie Robinson. With the help and vision of Brooklyn Dodgers general manager Branch Rickey, he broke the professional baseball color barrier. Starring Jackie Robinson as himself, the movie depicts the prejudice and hatred Robinson had to endure and the depth of patience, courage, and self-control he displayed in the face of relentless adversity. The clip begins in Branch Rickey's office. It is their first meeting, and Rickey surprises Robinson by telling him he wants Robinson to try out his team and possibly become the first black player in the major leagues. Rickey asked, "What do you think, Jackie? Do you got guts enough to play the game no matter what happens? They'll shout insults at you. They'll come into you spikes first. They'll throw at your head." And so Robinson responds, "They have been throwing at my head for a long time, Mr. Rickey." Rickey fabricates a scenario. "Suppose I'm a player on the eve of an important game. Suppose I collide with you at second base. And when I get up, I say, 'You dirty black so-and-so,' what do you do? Mr. Rickey, do you want a ball player who's afraid to fight back?" Robinson asked. Rickey answered emphatically, "I want a ball player with guts enough not to fight back." You've got to do the job with base hits, stolen bases, and fielding around balls, Jackie. Nothing else. Now I'm playing you in the World Series, and I'm hot-headed. He's telling him a story. I want to win the game, so I go into the spikes first. You jab the ball in my ribs, and the umpire says, out. All I can see is your black face, that black face right over me. So I haul off and punch you right in the cheek. What do you do? Robinson calmly thinks for a moment, then answered, Mr. Ricky, I've got two cheeks. Ricky is very happy with his answer. He briefly discusses the contract with Robinson. As Robinson is about to leave, Ricky tells him, remember one thing, no matter what happens on the ball field, you can't fight back. That's going to be the hard part. You can't fight back. And Robinson does turn the other cheek and becomes a model of courage and humility. And many of us know what Robinson went through on those ball fields, that he was spit on, beaten, and he continued to turn the other cheek. Friends, we live in a conflicted nation and world now. More so, I guess it's always been this way, but certainly with the advent of social media, we can see it all. And our news all the time, we could see the hatred. The hatred of the killing, the savagery that's in our nation. We see rumors of war. We hear rumors of war. Right now, as we stand, we hear about Russia going into the Ukraine. We hear about all these things. People don't even know each other. They look at them, look at the color of their skin or where the nation they may think they're from, and they say horrible things to them. They do horrible things on television. We see it. We see it. Can you imagine if Jesus was here and what he would be saying? Can we think about that? What Jesus would be saying? Because when Jesus was speaking in the first century, right, when he walked the earth, things were horrible there too. Right? It wasn't all glorious when he was walking the earth. The Jews were under captivity of the Roman captivity. One of the captors, they were the celluloid, and then the Jews, and then the Romans. And many Jews were third-class citizens. They were looked at as third-class citizens. They were poor. The Jewish people, children of Israel, they were poor. They were being kept down, not because they didn't have good minds, but they were kept down under Roman captivity. And not only that, between the Romans and the Jewish multitude, there was the priest, who were the middleman. So things were very difficult for those people there. It was the kind of world that we live in now. It is not new what is going on. We have different weaponry. We've got social media, but it's not new. Humanity has been horrible to humanity for generations. This Bible has been written over 1,000 years, and Jesus walked the earth over 2,000 years. Humanity has been horrible. So Jesus' words stand today as it did yesterday. Jesus has been teaching the disciples and the multitudes about blessings and woes, or as Matthew writes, the Beatitudes. Last week reading, we did not do, but he was speaking, he started with that. We all get to hear Jesus open such a different worldview from our own that it can leave us as us gasping. We can't believe that Jesus wants us to do that. Jesus looks at the multitude and he says, woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophet. But I say to you, that listen, and then he begins. Jesus begins to tell them the first point. Right? He begins, and he begins from a place, first slide, men, gentlemen. He begins from a place, and he says, the first point, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Now, what kind of love is Jesus talking about? Right? Love your enemies. Not just your friends and family. It's all in the text. He says, love your enemies. Now, there are four types of love in the Bible. And the four types I preached on once, there's storage, empathy. There is philia, friend, the bond between friends. Eros, romantic love. And then agape, unconditional love. And the only way we can love our enemies is by agape love. It's through agape love. And that is God love. There's no other way we can love our enemies unless we take on God love. That we love them as God loved them. He says here, as I said in my sermon title, Jesus teaching tough stuff. Tough means difficult to accomplish. Right? Difficult to accomplish. So I reorganize so that we could, I put the ones that are easier first. And I want you to be, those online, you could write your notes in Facebook, and I'd like to challenge some of you here, right here. You could raise your hand or say yes or no. Love your enemies. How easy do you think it is? Friends, here or here. You could raise your hand so I could see it or shake it. How easy it is for you to love your enemies? Not easy, right? Not easy at all to love. It gets better. Love your easy. That, it's not easy. Then he says, do good to those who hate you. That's not easy at all for us, right? Not just those who love you, but I think in a place, I think this would be, can be easier for me to do good to those who hate me. Because I would be trying to strive through agape love to do something good, because sometimes people hate you and you don't know that they hate you, right? And you continue to do good, right? But certainly if they come up to you and say, I hate you, it then can become difficult. But we could strive for that, right? Because we're going to do it through agape love. And then he says, bless those who curse you. It'd be great to talk to Jesus now, right? Because we live in this culture. Bless those who curse you. Not just those who compliment us. Can you imagine someone cursing you and then you blessing them? And you say, God bless you. That has happened because you have to. You're on the subway or something. I used to take the subway and people knock into you and then they curse you out. And to save your own life, you just says, God bless you. Because you have no other choice but to say, God bless you. It's between life and death, and you're hoping that you mean it from your heart. And then the next slide, Jesus said, do not judge, and you will not be judged. That's easy enough for us to do, right? We should stop pointing fingers at others, because we don't know what they're going through. Right? Don't judge. Right? Leave judging. We don't know people's circumstance. We don't know why they're hurting or not hurting. Jesus says, don't judge. Christian believers, I know we don't like to hear when Jesus gives us tough stuff, but I'm telling you, he does. There's a lot in the Bible that he tells us, and we should not skirt it. That's why the lection doesn't skirt it. Right? Do not judge. Then he says, do not condemn, which comes in the do not judge area, right? Do not condemn you, and you will not be condemned. Because we don't want Jesus to condemn us, do we? So we shouldn't condemn others. It shouldn't be our job to condemn others, again, because we do not know what they're going through. And this is one that we all struggle with, that we all are asked to do all the time. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Now, friends, aren't we seeking to do that? Could I hear from you all, forgive? Some people say they have a difficult time forgiving. But remember, Jesus did not say forget. Right? Because he knows that we will remember what has happened to us, but as you begin to forgive that person, have you ever, friends, somebody did something terrible to you, and it hurts bad. But over time, when you begin to forgive them, over time, it becomes what? Easier and easier, and what? You do not remember it as much, right? Because the forgiveness is for our souls, right? You stop, you know, you just start working at it and says, Lord, help me to forgive. Lord, let me, and then slowly but surely, the sting of what that person has done to you does not bite as much. Amen? It's not that you're forgiven, you're forgotten, because we don't suffer from amnesia, but the sting of it is not as bad. Forgiveness is a good thing. And now it continues now, the next slide, to get tougher. It continues to get tougher. It says, give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. And I thought about that, Lord Jesus. You mean if I have my fancy pocketbook I just spent $2,000 for? I don't have anything like that, I'm just saying. And someone begs me for it, will I give them? When you read the scripture, do you question these things? Do you say to yourself, Lord, will I? The test is for us. These scriptures are for us to say, Lord, would I give them my bag? The bag that I just bought, I have it on the credit card, I can't even pay for it. Right? Jesus lays these out. And he says, don't ask them for it again. Think about it, Christian believers. And then he goes on and he says, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. That means you give them everything. Everything you have. Give them your coat and your shirt. I said last night to Jesus, Lord Jesus, you're really making it hard, aren't you? You're making it tough, difficult, Lord Jesus, because we hold on to our stuff. You see what happens? This text make you do what? Think. It's a thinking text. And now this section becomes very difficult. He says, pray for those who abuse you. I could write a whole list on this, but you know, we have to go. I was asking Jesus, do you mean physical abuse? Emotional abuse? Right? We still have to find what? Find that in our hearts to pray for them. Pray for those who abuse you. Right? That's what happened to Jackie Robinson. Pray for those who abuse you. Jesus tells us that today. Pray for those who abuse you. Whatever the abuse is. Very difficult. Right? Because when somebody abuses your body, or abuses you emotionally, and you're hurting, does it mean you're praying for them then, or you're praying for them after? Jesus demands it of us. And he doesn't say we're going to get there. He's going to be there with us. And then finally he says, if anyone strikes you on your cheek, offer also the other cheek. Now, I'm not good at that. Because if you strike me on my cheek, my instinct is going to what? Pull a punch. Can they show this on TV? It's coming up on the... And I'm the pastor. I better keep my hands down. But if someone punched me in the cheek, my natural instinct is going to be what? To defend myself. Is everybody here so nice they're going to turn the other cheek? I'm going to be, yes. Susan, I'm going to be... I told her to Zamzam once. She was asking me, somebody comes into your house and they come, I don't know what we were talking about, and I said to Zamzam, I said, no, if they come in my house, I'm going to draw my gun to kill them. But I don't even have a gun, you know, but I'm saying, in essence, I'm saying I'm going to try to defend myself, right? And Jesus is saying, turn the other cheek. He means that we have to aspire to turn the other cheek, right? Help me, Jesus. Yes, Ricky, to help us to aspire to turn the other cheek. That's the basis of that scripture we heard this morning. It's all in the paragraphs, but when you take it up point by point, this is what Jesus is saying. And then I put at the end of this scripture, what the blessings. What does Jesus do on it? He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's the key. Jesus says, and that was in the middle of the text, but I put it at the end. Do to others as you will have them do to you. Can you imagine, friends, if in the United States, we're talking about where we live, because in the world it's just as bad, if we were doing to others as we would have them do to us, wouldn't it be a wonderful world? Wouldn't it? He doesn't say do to others what you would like them, you know, do to others what you'd have them do for you, yes. You have to, you look at yourself and say, would I like them to call me names? Would I like them to hurt me? Could you imagine? There's so many, there are women in abusive relationship, and I guess and men too, that get abused. Could you imagine if those people abusing other people would say, I don't want to be abused, so I cannot abuse you? Children who have been abused, if the parents would say that, I mean, if they're not sick and can help themselves, Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you. As you would have them do. So I guess you would beat them if you want to be beaten. And you would abuse them if you want to be abusing. And then he says, give, and it will be given to you. When you're generous. He says, a good measure. You know what's a good measure? It means a lot. Press down. That means he's going to what? Pile the blessings upon blessings. Press down. Shaken together. That means if you think about it, friends, he's like the blessing is going to be in a big basket, right? And he says, no, a good measure. Then he's going to press it down so you could get a lot of blessing. Then he's going to shake it together so that there could be more blessing. Running over, that there'll be a lot of blessing. Will be put in your lap. For with the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Amen? That means he's going to bless us, beyond bless us, beyond bless us, when we seek to be good. Amen? Amen? I love this scripture, you know. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. He says you could open up the windows of heaven. He opened up the window and pour out blessings. He says, if you give back to wherever, whomever, he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you will not have room to contain. Amen? Good measure, praise the Lord, that Jesus will give to us. And so, friends, when the Lord tells us he's given us the blueprint on how to live. Now, let's be real. Are we now going to automatically get there? No. No. It's work in process. And I truly believe Jesus, as he spoke to those folks, he was saying this to them so that we aim for something. We aim to be better. That's what it's all about. We aim to be better than we are. That is what Jesus is doing. And so we see that in the Genesis text. We see that in the Genesis text with Joseph. Joseph's brother had come up against him. Right? They sold him into slavery. Right? And then when he would, by God's grace, he got to Egypt and to Pharaoh and his brothers. And when there was problems in Goshen, famine in Goshen, his brother showed up. Oh, and what a story. And his brother, when they realized it was Joseph that was in charge, they were trembling, huh? Because they thought he was going to do to them what they did to him. How about Joseph? Joseph just came over and hugged them, and he kissed them, and he forgave them, and he says, and I paraphrase, he says, it's okay because what? What the devil meant for evil, God used for good. And he forgave them. And so that story teaches us that we must strive for the things of Christ. We cannot do it without Christ. There's a song that we sing in our hymnal. We only sing the refrain. And the words go like this. It says, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior and a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The only way we could do these things is to what? Turn our eyes upon Jesus. We cannot do this without agape love. We cannot do this without Jesus leading us. We cannot do that without our connection to Jesus. The second verse says, his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to the world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, friends. The only way we're going to do it is to turn our eyes upon Jesus. No matter what we are going through, no matter what the circumstance, turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will go strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. We can only do these things that Jesus laid out with him. We can only do it through his agape love. Because when you think of ourselves, how we have sinned against God, and how we sinned against each other oftentimes, yet Jesus continues to forgive us. Agape love. And so as we look to Lent, as more second is coming, friends, let us strive to be better than we are. That's what Jesus is asking. He knows we're not going to be able to do all these things. He knows that we are flesh and we're weak. He knows that our flesh is weak. But we could seek to be better than we are. Amen? I always say to the Lord sometimes, and I remember when I get up, I says, Lord, let me be better today than I were yesterday, Lord Jesus. Just let me be a little bit better, Lord Jesus, today than I was yesterday. Because we're striving, as John Wesley says, we're going on to perfection. Day by day. Amen? Amen. So even this text that sometimes we read over, and we just hear them, we read over, it is full of things that we have to do. But we could take them day by day and be better to someone. Can you imagine if each one of us in here is better to someone out there? Oh, we could start a thing, can't we? We could just start a thing. Start being better to someone that someone we are passing by that we never said anything nice to, or we never did, or some or a family member. There are people here come to church and haven't spoken to a family member. Or they haven't spoken to us. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine if we say, you know, Jesus tells me to do this, so it's going to be hard, but I'm going to try to call my family member, call my loved one, say something. I'm going to forget my pride. I'm not going to wait till, oh, they got to call me first. I'm not going to speak to them because they got to call me first. No, no, no. Jesus wants us who are Christian believers to call them and tell them that we love them. Tell them that we care. Tell them whatever it is. And he will bless us in abundance. Amen. God bless you, friends, as we strive to be like Christ. Amen. Let us now read. Let us now bless our church today. Let us begin.